Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 5 of week number 35, studying Mark chapter 7. As we begin, these reminders. All of our free materials are available online by clicking the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us at this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of Mark chapter 7. Here's where we were at the end of our last program. Mark 7:17-23, Jesus to the disciples, the parable explained. In verses 18 and 19, in response to the disciples' question about the meaning of the parable that we first read in Mark 7:15, Jesus asked them two interesting questions. First, Jesus asked them, "Are you without understanding also?" And then second, Jesus asked, "Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him?" Together, these questions indicate that there must be some sense of preliminary understanding to the meaning of the parable that Jesus just shared with the multitudes in order for there to be subsequent and deeper understanding of yet other parables. We see that same principle reflected in Mark 4:10 and following, when the 12 asked him about the parable. Jesus, in that context, responded in similar fashion. "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" There's a message here that we should not miss. Some elements of biblical teaching are necessary, absolutely necessary, prerequisites for other elements of biblical teaching. That means that biblical understanding was cumulative and not just singular point instant learning experiences. Just what does that mean? It means that it's possible to learn a lot of isolated, disconnected data, truths, principles, practices, and so forth about the Word of God and still miss the big picture. Here's how we illustrated that at the very end of our last broadcast. It was entirely possible for a Jew living under the Mosaic Law during the time of Jesus to know many details about the priestly system, to follow as closely as possible the domestic elements of the Mosaic Law, to maintain both ceremonial and ritual purity requirements, to observe all holy days and convocations, to understand the law's place in its relationship to the Abrahamic covenant promise, to grasp that David somehow prefigured the coming of Messiah, and yet miss some of the big picture teachings of Moses' law. All of this information, great though it was, might be viewed as isolated bits of knowledge learned or gleaned from the First Testament scriptures. What a Jew living under the Mosaic Law during the time of Jesus lacked, however, was an understanding of how all of this seemingly isolated, seemingly disconnected facts that were part of the Old Testament revelation as a whole, what they lacked was how all of that fit together in a singular, comprehensive, and cohesive way. Consider this more relevant contemporary example. You may know a lot of facts and details about how your automobile works, but you might not be able to put all of that information together to create a fairly thorough and systematic picture of its overall functionality. To say that you only have to start the car, put it in gear, and then drive, well, that's an oversimplified and drastically minimal view of how your car works. Biblically and redemptively speaking, while it's true just to say that Jesus saves, That true statement by itself does not accurately reflect all of the divinely ordained component parts revealed throughout both testaments that shows us how every scriptural principle, scriptural belief, and scriptural practice was designed to function in an integral fashion, that is, cohesively, coherently, and coincidentally. The point that Jesus made in this context, there are some things that are prerequisites, precursors to understanding others. But they are not just suggested prerequisites and precursors, they are necessary prerequisites and precursors. There are some things that are naturally and purposefully designed to build on other things. That works when you build a house. That works when you learn arithmetic, mathematics, geometry, algebra, and calculus in a logical building on the facts and principles process that you pick up along the way. That works on your job. That works when you learn how to be a better disciple of Jesus. We noted in our last program, for example, that though the Jews living during the time of Jesus might have understood the Messiah to be the son of David, many of them did not understand that the Messiah was not just David's physically born descendant, but that he also existed before David. That's the significance of Jesus' questions posed to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 22. Hear what God's word reveals in that text. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 46. Jesus' first question in this context was easy enough. Concerning the Christ, whose son is he? The Pharisees responded correctly when they answered, "The son of David." But then there was that second series of questions that Jesus put forward. How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? Unlike the first easy-to-answer question, this one was much more difficult to answer. But it was only much more difficult to answer because the Pharisees did not understand that Christ's fulfillment to be the son of David physically did not rule out that the Christ also lived before David. It was that also lived before David teaching, or that also lived before Abraham teaching that we see in John 8:56 and following. It was that also lived before aspect that caught their attention. They were not able to answer those latter questions. Jesus' follow-up questions showed a major hole in their theology. It was an incomplete theology. Though they were not wrong in saying that the Messiah was David's son, they were not fully right either if they failed to see that Messiah was also David's God. The point, it was definitely true that the Messiah was to be born of the lineage of David. But it was also true that the Messiah preceded David. The only way that that could have been true was that the Messiah was greater than David, because the Messiah was the Son of God, equal to God in all respects. That single and key piece of information affected so many other biblical truths. In this context, Mark chapter 7, the message, the principle that Jesus indirectly expressed to the disciples and that Jesus impressed on the disciples was this: it's possible to understand many things in God's word and yet still miss many major things in the text. That point was well made by Jesus when he said in Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 and following, that the scribes and the Pharisees neglected the weightier matters of the law, but that they were diligent to give attention to the most minute details of the law. You should not do one without the other. You should not focus on the majors and neglect the minors. But nor should you emphasize the minors and neglect the majors. Jesus wanted the disciples to grasp every truth, the basic foundational principles, and everything else that was built upon them. In this context, Jesus wanted them to grasp first this parable, the one he presented in Mark 7:15, so that they would understand all parables. One last biblical reference to help us see the necessity of building a complete, no-holds theology and understanding as we study God's Word. The opening three verses of Hebrews chapter 6 read as follows. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permits. Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. The writer of the Hebrew letter was concerned that his readers stop building, stop growing in their Christian faith. They were admonished to build on the foundation that they first learned, not to continue laying again the foundation. They were to move beyond elementary principles, and they were to go on to perfection. This text, though not identical to what we saw in Mark chapter 7, emphasizes the same central point. Growing in our understanding of God's Word will always be a process. In like fashion, growing in our faith toward God will always be a process. We should never be content to stop building as we seek to serve and as we seek to glorify God. We return now to the principles that Jesus taught in Mark chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. We noted earlier that Jesus asked two questions. The first question, the one that we most recently elaborated on, demanded that Jesus' apostles, and ultimately all Jesus' disciples, grasp fundamental principles and truths and then build on them. In this context, especially so with regard to understanding Jesus' parables. The second question, bridging two verses, chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, dealt more directly with the meaning of the parable that Jesus first shared with the multitude in Mark 7:15. Those two verses read, "Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark 7. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.